How many of you are actually glad you're in this room this morning? Some of you need to let your gladness show up in your face. But it's always a good day to be in the house of the Lord. So, why are we here? Why are we here? We're here to worship and praise our Lord. We're here to adore Him. We are here to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, so that we can live our lives in victory. So that, as Jerry prays all the time, so that we might live our lives for the glory of God. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. And Lord, we're told that we love you because you first loved us. Thank you, Father, for that love. I thank you for your guidance, your mercy, your wisdom by the hand. I thank you for those times when we are a little bit down, that you encourage us, that you take us by the hand and walk us through life. I thank you that you're there, that we can always depend on you in good times and in bad. So, Father, this morning, help us to learn how to love you more and how more to love one another. Father, we thank you and praise you, and Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would be free to work in this place today, in our lives, to guide us into all truth. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Talked about teaching and preaching through experiencing God. The workbook is called Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. And the second reality in knowing God is this. God pursues a love relationship with us that is real and personal. God pursues a love relationship with us that is real and personal. I always add the word intimate. And to me, and the word intimate means to share together, to be closely acquainted with. It means to be private and personal. Your private, personal relationship with God is not like anyone else's. It is absolutely unique to you. My relationship with God may not be what yours is, Crystal. We may be in two different places in our journey with Christ, depending on maybe how much we've trusted Him, how well we know Him, how much we've allowed Him to work in our lives. But your relationship with God is not what mine is. Can they be similar? Absolutely, they can be similar. But they can never be the same. And that personal relationship with God, I want you to think about that just for a minute. Let it sink in. The Almighty God, the Lord of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all things, desires to have a relationship with you. Colossians chapter 1. He is the creator and sustainer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says this. He, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is not only the creator, He is also the sustainer. Nothing happens outside of His knowledge. Nothing happens outside of His control. And just imagine that God wants to have a personal, intimate, real relationship with you. Do we think about that enough? Does that occupy our minds and our thoughts and our the way we live our lives enough that He Almighty wants to have a personal relationship with us? I said in Sunday school this morning that my personal relationship with Him is not where I want it to be. Does that make sense? It should be closer now than it was when I was saved in 1972. When I was married in 73, the birth of our children. It should be a better relationship now than it was a year ago or 6 months ago or 2 months ago. But my relationship with God will never be what I want it to be, what I really want it to be, until that day when He takes me up into glory. And until that time, I need to pray and ask God to increase my passion for Him. God wants to have that relationship with us. And He took the initiative. How did He do that? Jesus went to the cross for my sin, for yours. Jesus shed His blood to wash our sins away. Jesus conquered sin, death, and the grave for us so that we might be reconciled to God through faith and begin that relationship with Him. Salvation is all about God. All about God. He pursues that relationship with us. And two verses I talked about last week, John chapter 6, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. He takes the initiative. He draws us to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I will never put aside. I will never cease a relationship with that person. I will never cut them off. Everything about our relationship with God is initiated and completed by Him. Our salvation from first to last, and everything in the middle. From the day we were saved until the day we set foot in heaven, our salvation was initiated by Him. That salvation is crucial for me, and there are verses that help me understand that. That God began the work in us, God completes the work in us. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He started it, He keeps it, and He delivers us at the end. It is all about Him. And God pursues that relationship with us that is real and personal and intimate. Verse 36 of Matthew chapter 22. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? What's the great commandment? What is the most important thing? What's the great commandment? He didn't say what's important. He said, what is the most important thing? What's the great commandment in the law? And Jesus' reply was this. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. This is the single most important thing in our Christian lives, to love God with everything we are, with everything we have. In verse 39 it says, and a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. I would submit to you this morning that if you're having a problem with another brother or sister in Christ, you are at the core having a problem with God. If we love God passionately, if we seek to love Him with everything we are, then we will love others. There can be no other conclusion. If we love Him with everything we are, then we will, not might, not maybe, we will love one another. From beginning to end, we are to love God supremely, passionately. We are to adore Him, to serve Him, to worship Him. It begins from beginning to end in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. From beginning to end, it's about Him. It's about loving Him. Everything about our relationship with God depends on this statement, on these two things. There are, you can take a look for yourself, there are at least 10 passages in Scripture that talk about loving God and loving one another. At least 10. Loving others says it's the fulfillment of the law. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. To fulfill means to accomplish, to perform, to complete. Loving one another, loving God, loving one another, fulfills the law. It completes the law. It helps us do everything that the law requires. But I'll share with you this morning, you can't do that by yourself. You will never be able to do that in and of yourself, in your own strength. Because the truth is, if we try to do it of ourselves, we will never love God completely. And we won't love one another. Anybody ever had a problem with another brother or sister in Christ? How do we overcome those things? We overcome those things by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives as He produces His fruit in us. In Galatians chapter 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is first of all what? First of all, love. If the Holy Spirit, if we have not submitted to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if we have not surrendered our lives to Him, we will never see that love produced in all its fullness. We cannot do it on our own. By the way, it's also not always our desire to love one another. I can be offended. I can be upset. But even in those offenses, I can love others because I love God. Here's what I know. If my love relationship with God is not right, my love relationship with my wife will never be right. My love relationship with you will never be right if I don't have that relationship with God. And not just a relationship, but a relationship that's based on love. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, we love because He first loved us. He took the initiative. And because He loves us, we not only return that love passionately, but we also love one another. Jesus said something else about this passage in Matthew chapter 22. He didn't say it fulfills the law. Here's what He said. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments. Love God, love others. If you have your bulletin today, on the cover of that bulletin, what's it say? There should be a little heart there, right? Somewhere in the bulletin. Love God, love others. Why? For His glory. And the only way we can love God... I thought I shut that off. Pizza's on somebody. What'd you say back there? All you need is love. That's a song from somewhere. These two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Everything you read in your Bible depends on these two things. They fall under the umbrella of loving God, loving others. And I've asked people since I've been here, I've asked people since I was saved, show me one thing, just one, that doesn't fall under the umbrella of loving God and loving others. Just one. The Ten Commandments is all about loving God and loving others. The first four are about our relationship with God. The next six are about our relationship with one another. Don't steal, don't kill, don't lie, don't covet. Those things are about our relationship with others. And I will tell you that if you love God, that those other things, those other six, will never happen. You won't covet, you won't lie, you won't steal, because you care about other people. But sometimes I wonder, do we? Do we genuinely care about others? Do we genuinely think about others first? Is that not what we're supposed to do? Put others first. I talk to people sometimes in premarital counseling, sometimes in marital counseling. And I go to that passage in Ephesians chapter 5. Just turn there with me so I don't get this wrong. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And this is for every married man in this room. Every single married man, and those of you who are single who are considering getting married. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as what? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Is that sacrificial? Did Christ die for the church? Should we not be willing to do the very same thing for our wives? That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves his body. I tell people when I do counseling, you need to put your wife on a pedestal. And you need to love her with everything you have. I believe when we do that, our wives will follow us. I believe they'll follow us anywhere, unless we're going into sin. Y'all know that many of you have seen that little triangle I draw, right? And here it is. I showed it to you one night during a Wednesday Bible study and drew it on the wall for you and Brenda. And here it is. You have a triangle. It's supposed to be equilateral. I do know what those are, Joyce. By the way, God at the top, and we'll use Mike and Kiko because they're right here. Kiko on one side and Mike on the other. If you are growing in your relationship with God, if both people are growing, you by definition are growing closer to God. Is that right? If each of you is moving closer to God, then you're moving closer to one another. But if either of you is moving away from God, even if that other person is moving toward God, you are still moving further apart. And so my love for God will determine my relationship with my wife. It is an amazing thing. Not only will it determine my relationship with my wife, it'll determine my relationship with you. My relationship, as much as I like you, won't be what it needs to be unless my love for God consumes me, unless that is a passion for me. Passion. What drives you? What's the most important thing in your life? Said this before and just came to me. Ever been in a cemetery? You walk around the cemetery. Years ago, I did a funeral for a fellow named Tom Hines' mother, and we drove on the concrete road to the asphalt road to the stone road to the dirt road into the cemetery. It was down near Athens, and this cemetery had bodies from the Revolutionary War. And I would walk around and look at the tombstones. And it would have one date at the beginning when they're born and one date at the end when they died. How do we live our life in the dash? That's important. When we die, will people say we love God with everything we are? Is that part of the dash for us? That we loved others as we love ourselves? Will people be able to say that is a passion for us? That that is what consumed us in that dash? John Piper talked about this love like this. It is the beginning and the end of why God inspired the Bible. It is the fountainhead and spring at the one end, and the shoreless ocean at the other end of redemptive history. We need to remember it is promised in the Word of God. From beginning to end, and you'll hear this often, you already have, from beginning to end, the theme has always been love God, love others. If that's all you hear today, that is the most important thing I'll say. Love God, love others. Not just on a surface level, but love Him with all your being, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything you are. Sometimes we are tempted and we fall into a casual relationship with God, and that's not what He deserves. He pursued us. He gave us His best. And we need to give our best back to Him. And that's true of every area of our lives. A fellow named Israel Moore Arion said this: lift your worship off the ground where love abounds. One thing that hinders sincerity in the worship of God among brethren is insincere love among one another. One thing that hinders our sincere love is the insincere love for one another. So let me ask you this morning, are you sincere in loving God? Are you sincere in loving others? The word insincere means this: not living in truth. It's what one appears to be but really is not. It's a hypocrite. It's someone who is false or deceitful. And we can come and put on a mask, can't we? We can pretend to be something we are not. But if we genuinely love God, if we are sincere in our love for God, then we will love others, we'll be sincere in our love for others, and we'll never have to wear that mask of hypocrisy. Be who you say you are. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, and this commandment, by the way, a commandment's not an option. This commandment we have from Him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's not an option. Whoever loves God must also love one another. So if I don't love you, what's that say about me? That I don't love God. That my love for God will flow into my love for you. And though it begins with a commandment, it ought to lead to a passion. He tells us to love Him. But as we experience Him, we learn to love Him more. And as we learn to love Him more, we experience Him in greater ways. It is absolutely true that our experience leads to love, and that love leads to greater experiences. And we develop that passion for Him. And when we have that passion for Jesus, or for God, both, then our passion for others will increase. That passion for God leads to our passion for others. Now let me just, how do we know that we love Him with our entire being? How do we know that we love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds, with all our might? I don't even remember who it was, but I found it in some notes I had. It said, to love God with the whole heart is to uncover all the secret sins and lusts of our hearts. To do that before God and to seek His forgiveness. Only then will we be able to love Him as He deserves. To love God with the whole heart is to uncover all the secret sins and lusts of our hearts. and come to him and seek his forgiveness. The Pharisees, y'all know the Pharisees, right? Pharisees believed in the law. They tried to make sure that everyone else kept the law too. They not only believed the Big Ten, but there were 613 other laws that they had identified in the books of Moses. 613 laws. How do you keep track of those things? And they insisted that people keep those laws. But they kept them for all the wrong reasons. They kept them out of obligation. They thought they were doing God a favor. And I don't believe that they kept the commandments because they loved God. And I will tell you this morning, that keeping the commandments outside of the love of God is worthless. It's worthless. If we don't love God and love others, our attempts to please God by being good, by doing the right thing, is worthless. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. What I want you to do as I read, and pay attention, but count the times Jesus uses the word woe. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. Starting in verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that is made the gold sacred? And if you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Verse 21. Whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits in it, or sits upon it. Verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. By the way, every time he says woe to you, he also uses the word hypocrite, doesn't he? They are not who they say they are. Because I think by telling the people to keep the commandments, that they are acting like they're doing that out of loving God. By the way, I've been in churches, and so have you, that are so consumed with rules that they forget about loving God. If you don't look like this, talk like this, walk like this, speak like this, then you ain't us. If you don't keep the rules, you're not a believer. You know what they call that? Legalism. Legalism is not grace. Let's keep going. Verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate that the outside may also be clean. And you can read the rest of it. But I believe, I counted seven times in my translation the word woe. Woe means calamity, affliction. The synonyms are torture, torment, travail, tribulation. It is almost like Jesus is pronouncing a curse on the Pharisees. You act like you're one thing, but you are not. You are clean on the outside, but you are filthy on the inside. You are motivated by being recognized, by being seen as someone who is higher than you, but you are not motivated by your love for God nor your love for others. Love begins with inner cleansing. Clean on the outside, are in the inside. If you are clean on the inside, you will be clean on the outside. Our love for God is the core of everything we believe and everything we are. And it begins with that relationship, that love relationship with Him. We express that in our devotion, in our loving Him, our adoring Him, and our serving Him. Love for God. How much do you love God this morning? Can we honestly say this morning that we love God with everything we are? And that's a question each of us has to deal with individually. What's it going to take for me to love Him with everything I am? And I am sure that if you ask Him that question in all sincerity, that He will answer. Love gets not only gives us the right motive, love is the only motive. Love one another. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So does that say to us that if we don't love one another, that we don't know God? If we don't love one another, then we are unsaved. We have no relationship with Him. That if we have that relationship with Him, we will love one another. By the way, that little song I learned when I was a kid, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. That means we don't pick and choose who we love. We don't love those who are just like us. Those who come from the same place that we come from. Those who are economically like us. We don't love just them. We love everyone. Is that right? From every nation and tribe, God draws them to Himself. God saves them. Not just Americans. Sometimes we think that in America we have the corner on God. But it may be in other places where they love God more. Going back, let's start. Verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest or made known among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. That is not my opinion. That is the Word of God. That is John writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God breathed out these words to John, and John wrote them down. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Let me read that again, because I think I read it wrong. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has seen. And this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Excuse me. I love to read John Piper. I love what he has to say. He said this: What is the greatest threat to your soul? Whatever keeps you from God. And not every threat will be sin. In fact, for many of us, perhaps most of the greatest threats to our souls are not sin, but some good God Himself has given to us. Most of the threats are not sin, but are many of the blessings, many of the gifts that God has given to us. And the reason is because we begin to worship the gift instead of the giver. We allow the gift to get between us and the one who gave it to us. I'm grateful for the gifts that God has given us, given me. He has blessed me beyond my ability to contain it. He's given me, sorry guys, the best wife who ever lived. Just telling you, she's absolutely the best. He's blessed me with 3 children. He's given me a home, a place to live. He blesses me every single day when I get up with blessings that are impossible for me to number. How can I not love Him in return? How can I not be absolutely in love with the one who loves me sacrificially and completely? The command becomes our passion. And our passion is to love God. Our passion should be to love God and to love others for His glory. And when we don't get it right, we need to ask God to forgive us and to work in us and through us so that we can love Him and love others for His glory. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are for Your Word.